Diana Sarah Carey is the only major film star from Hollywood's silent era who is still alive. She began her career as Baby Peggy in the early 1920s when she was just 19 months old, and she was making $1 million a picture by the time she was five. But her fame was short-lived, her fortune was made and lost twice over, and her stardom ended abruptly when she was 6 years old. In Vera Bohr's documentary called Baby Peggy, The Elephant in the Room, Miss Carey talks about the challenges she faced being a child star and the recent rediscovery of her films, which had fallen into obscurity. I'm very pleased to welcome her and Vera Bohr to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
And it's interesting that we are involved at all these discussions about political conventions, because didn't you appear with FDR as the mascot of the 1924 Democratic Convention?
Yes, I did.
How old were you at the time? Do you remember
it? Pretty wild. In those days, the conventions were pretty rough. They were more for all men, and there were not. It was not at all well staged either, like some of these shows now.
But you were a big star at the time. They brought you in.
Yes,
as a
they brought me in as a mascot, and there was a little tent. There was a tent for the people that were getting ready to go up and speak, you know, and I was the only girl, and but they brought a lady in. I remember just as we were to go out, my father was going to put me on his shoulders and carry me out to Madison Garden, is where they held it, and the floor was all earth, and it was in the center of the ring was a lot of rough people who were drunk and disorderly, and so when we went out, the riot police that were on hand led us around the track, and they just hit left and right with their nightsticks, and a lot of drunks, and each one got hit unconscious and then thrown aside like they were just, you know, bad luggage. And
I'm sure there's no alcohol that is imbibed at all during these conventions.
Well, I think compared to now, I doubt if they had as much, because they had a lot in 1924.
Now, how were you discovered when you were just a little over a year and a half old?
It was really an accident. My father was only a stuntman for Tom Mix. He was a double for Tom Mix.
Although he wanted to be a Western star in his own right.
Well, he didn't want to be. He just wanted to earn a living, because Horseman had been displaced as far as in earnings were concerned. Everything was on wheels, and they couldn't get jobs. The big operation, the big cattle empire was going under. So they found Hollywood, and there was quite a number of cowboys who were valuable here. They were needed in Hollywood.
And then you appeared in some shorts, and
yes,
then in feature films. How many altogether do you know?
We now know. We didn't know before. We now know about 50, close to 48 or 50.
How much do you remember about the very early work?
A great deal about them, because they were many of them had very dangerous situations.
And you did your own stunts?
Yeah. I did the equivalent of stunts, yes. And sometimes there were accidents that, in one case that happened, I was wired to a goat, and the goat was wired to a pickup truck. And they hired a kid off the street, a teenager, to drive the truck. And he was told not more than 15 miles an hour, and they set me out into this field, a bean field with ruts, you know. And the boy was so excited to have a car, and so he took off, and he hit 55.
Oh.
And the car was really bumping up and down, and the goat went down. He couldn't stand up anymore. And when he fell down, it threw me over the side of the truck, the pickup. And I was hanging upside down, hanging by a wire around my ankle. And the camera card was going alongside. And my father kept telling me, put your hands to your chest. Don't wave your arms. Because I was facing the wheel. And if my arm went in one of those wheels, the spokes would have torn me to shreds, you know. So I did exactly what he told me. And for about 5 minutes, they were racing this boy across the bean field while I was dangling over the wheel.
At 2 years old, you'd become the breadwinner in your family, which is a heavy responsibility. Did you feel the weight of that responsibility?
I felt responsibility, yes. I felt a great deal of responsibility for my family.
But your films paid for several houses, expensive cars for your family. You say you felt like a machine.
Well, toward later, when I was in vaudeville, I liked the machine because you're 4 or 5 shows a day, you know. But the one thing about the films, when I was in movies, I played about 50 comedies, which were 2 reels, and they were full of dangerous things. But then I made feature films at Universal, 3 feature films that were very dramatic and melodramatic. And we had fire scenes there.
And you were making $1 million a picture at that time. You were 5 years old.
I made
that means an awful lot of ticket sales were expected because people weren't paying $10 to get into the movies.
Well, no, they weren't. And the other thing was the average household was headed by a breadwinner who earned only $1,000 a year.
So you were very, very rich.
For a family. And so for me to earn $1 million for a picture, there was really an uproar about a lot of heads of households complaining in the newspapers. And then Saul Lesser, the producer, said, oh, no, 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 we don't pay her that much. But probably that was more true than not, because much of the million was supposed to be dependent upon how much we earned back, you know. And then, of course, at the end, my father and he broke up because the producer claimed that the picture had never earned back its original invoice expenses, which was a lie.
Now, Vera, when did you first learn about Baby Peggy?
Oh, that's a long time ago.
And then you decided to find her? Was it that difficult? You can't just Google Baby Peggy.
No, not in the 1980s. And it was in 1990, I think we got an American bookstore in Amsterdam. And that's where we got the magazine. I think it was called The Autograph. Mm. And that's where I was able to get all the addresses. And one of them was of Peggy Montgomery. So at the time, I didn't know that she was Diana Sarah Carey. She had become an author. All I had was a postcard of Baby Peggy that I had bought when I was 8. So it was exciting to hear from her for the first time, and she immediately sent me about her books and everything, and when I spoke with her, there was an immediate click.
So you were eager to participate. You're 93 now. How old were you when this happened?
It was about 15 years, 10 or 12 years ago, was it?
What?
In the 80s? It was in the 80s.
We spoke for the first time, I think, 1995, something.
Yeah. Oh, so this has been a long-term project.
Yes.
You've done other films as well
yes.
along the way.
It was a mission for us to have this story told.
Well, part of the problem, I imagine, was finding enough films to include clips from. They were all over the world. She was known worldwide by the time she was 4 years old, considered one of the top 20 silent film box draws. So many of the films were lost, especially when Century, the first studio, burned down.
Right.
So were people looking for these Baby Peggy films by the time you got involved?
Well, Diana, at that point, that was, I think, about 2000, you started to appear at festivals.
Yeah, about in the 60s.
Yes.
I returned to California, and I was a bookseller by profession and a writer. I had become an historian and a writer, a nonfiction writer. And so,
largely self-taught originally because you hadn't had a decent education when you were making these
movies.
No,
I'd never been to school until I was 12. Because I was working. And so what I did was taught myself how to do everything as much as possible. But, of course, I had to invent the wheel several times, which I couldn't have done if I'd have gone to college. But my father was like a lot of men at that time. He didn't want me to go to college. He said I didn't need that because I had better things to do. He thought I was going to be an actress, an adult actress, which never really panned out.
But do you think that he also was a bit jealous of your success because he had wanted to have his own career?
My sister?
No, your father.
Oh, my father? Well, the family had depended upon me so much that it got to be habitual, you know. It does that with even other people.
Do you also talk about being two different people? You were an observer of this hard-working Baby Peggy character. She was one girl, you say. When you went to sleep, you were another girl.
Well, one of the things when I was little and very young, people came to visit the set when I was making movies. And I noticed that they all usually knelt down in front of me and said, "Oh, she's so, you're so darling, you're this and that." And I knew they acted like they already knew me, but they knew me from the screen.
You would not like the sassy character you played?
I knew I was not that person. And so one night I remembered vividly, I was going to sleep, and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, I know who I'm not. I know who I am. And I am the little girl who I go to sleep with every night. But I'm not that person on the screen, you know.
How did your parents deal with you? Your father definitely was behind your film career. What about your mother? Didn't they fight a bit?
No, she was not in the least prepared for that career, and neither was my father, really. Nobody pushed my career. That was discovered by accident. And as a consequence, they were the most surprised people of all when Century put me under contract. And it was only because Julia Stern was a visionary kind of producer who thought she could do something with a two-year-old child. And he doubled my salary at the age of two and put me in as a team with Brownie the dog. And it was a very successful team.
And made a lot of money. And then when you were sick, your father's stepfather, who'd set up a Baby Peggy Corporation, ran away with $2 million,
right,
which would be $27 million in today's money. Your family lost everything. Ever see him again?
Well, he set up the corporation, but he had a stepfather whom he brought out from Chicago who was a banker. And we left him with the service of an attorney, you know, the proof of attorney. And that's why I think he didn't really embezzle. He just helped himself to the money. He had the equipment. And my father and I were on tour with the movies, the million-dollar movie, and so the money was just taken.
And then you report that her father had a fight with Saul Lesser, the producer,
right,
and she was kind of blacklisted?
Yes, that's what Diana told me. That's what they
You couldn't do. Get any work anymore? Later you try to get back into the business
well,
after
you did
vaudeville.
Well, we came back in 1932, and of course sound had come in. And everybody who had been, no one seems to realize how traumatic that situation was for everyone. And that was that Murray Pickford was going to burn all of her early films, silent films. And I was traumatized at that age because the studios all said the people who were in silence weren't really not good actors. And so I decided I never wanted to see a Baby Peggy picture.
You have focused on improving conditions for child actors since, because what you went through
I've tried, yes.
Today would be shocking.
Yeah.
The film is being shown at the Museum of Modern Art?
Yes, tonight.
They must have provided you with some of the films, although you got a lot from European archives, because
the
intertitles are
right,
often in a foreign language.
Well, that was there were about two or three films that I found in Amsterdam at the Eye Institute.
And my great thanks to both of you for coming by to talk about Baby Peggy, the elephant in the room. Vera Iverbor, who made the film. She's also made other films about silent film stars. And Diana Sarah Carey, who used to be known as Baby Peggy. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.